White. A blank page or canvas. The challenge? Bring order to the whole. Through design. Composition. Tension. Balance. Light. And harmony.
Hi, hello. Yes, you are, in fact, listening to Relevant Tones. I'm your host, Austin Williams. And yes, we did start the show with an excerpt from Sunday in the Park with George, composed and written by Stephen Sondheim. A little bit more on that in a bit. Today's theme or topic for the show is granular. This is a topic that I have been really interested in my own composition and creative projects recently, and I've been gravitating towards a lot of music that uses this as a concept. We will talk about it extensively throughout the episode, but just a Reader's Digest version. Granulation or granular thought really kind of came into music in the mid-20th century through Ian Zanakis and has, of course, permeated well into living and current composers. And it started as a form of synthesis, but I think it's really been expanded to other aspects of music that influence form, texture, any decision that a composer might make while they're creating their own music. So I thought this would be a really interesting topic to take a deep dive on, and I think I've curated some lovely works for us here. So why did we start the episode with Sondheim? Sondheim is not typically a new music composer, although I would argue that he certainly has some wonderful elements to his music that we could all learn from and about. But not so much that. But when I thought of granular or even a visual way to depict it, I always think of that really famous painting by George Sorow in Chicago Art Institute that we all probably know very well. And if you don't, just give it a Google and then you will, and you'll be like, oh, of course, it's that one. If you're not aware, I think, which many of us probably are, but Sorow went about making that piece by one little speck at a time, essentially. And it was the culmination of millions of tiny dots that created this larger image. And I think that is just such a on the nose, but perfect visual depiction of what granulation, granular thought, everything in this mindset is. So yes, we did begin with Sondheim, but we're going to move on to our usual scheduled programming and go on to a new piece. The next piece we're going to listen to is a piece by the composer Natalie Dietrich, which I had the lovely privilege and honor of meeting, back in 2017, 2016 at the Albany Symphony American Music Festival, where I heard this piece for a reading and then the actual performance of it as well. And it's just absolutely outstanding work. And I think it captures this idea of granular in a lovely way. The name of the piece is Aeolian Dust, and I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
hope you enjoyed Aeolian Dust by Natalie Dietrich. I love their works, and I think they're a fantastic composer. Please go check out more of their stuff on their website. They're doing some really fantastic things with archiving as well. So on to the next piece. I wanted to give just like a little bit of a historical context to all of this. We're going to listen to an excerpt by a piece by Barry Trow, who is on the forefront of figuring out or like creating this idea of a granular synthesis, which I think is what a lot of musicians think of when they hear granular. The Real Reader's Digest version of granular synthesis is you're taking a small part of something, repeating it a bunch, and making it in through different windowing. And by windowing, I mean you're creating different attack, decay, sustain, release moments that make the sounds overlap with each other and create this kind of flurry effect. And that is what Barry Trow, Ian Zanakis, and a lot of other composers in that time were interested in. So here is an excerpt of Night Watch by Barry Trow. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed that excerpt. Of course, music of that era has a certain aesthetic to it, but I think it's a great example of where all this kind of came from and where we're now going with it. I want to read this excerpt from Curtis Rhodes' Microsounds, just to give us an even more clear visual of what we're talking about here. Beneath the level of the note lies the realm of microsound, of sound particles. Microsonic particles remained invisible for centuries. Recent technological advances let us probe and explore the beauties of this formerly unseen world. Microsonic techniques dissolve the rigid bricks of music architecture, the notes, into a more fluid and supple medium. Sounds may coalesce, evaporate, or mutate into other sounds. The sensation of point, pulse, regular series of points, line, tone, and surface texture appear as the density of particles increases. Sparse emissions leave rhythmic traces. When the particles line up in rapid succession, they induce the illusion of tone continuity that we call pitch. As the particles meander, they flow into streams and rivulets. Dense agglomerations of particles form swirling sound clouds whose shapes evolve over time. Thank you. That was Chris Cerrone's first movement of his piece, The Air Suspended, called From Ground to Cloud. And not only do I think that we get some acoustic versions of Granulation, but I just liked the idea that there was a cloud in the title. And I always kind of think of granular particles as this cloud of stuff going on, kind of like a cloud of electrons or something of that nature. Now for something a bit more intimate. This is an excerpt from Chaya Chernowan's piece Hidden, performed by Jack Quartet. I think we really start to see the sum of many becoming a whole, especially towards the end of this excerpt. And I wanted to feature it on the show for that reason. So I hope you enjoy. And yeah, that was, of course, Trinoan, and had some indicative features of her music in there, which is always lovely. And I always am inspired and find something new to listen to every time I listen to her works. So I was happy to feature that on this episode. We're going to jump to a new piece, not new piece, kind of new piece. And it's written by Elijah Daniel Smith, who we've had on the show before as a guest. And I think I featured an excerpt of this piece before, but I just really love this piece. And shout out to Noise, Saxophone Quartet, who performed this as well. They're a bunch of lovely humans who are hometown heroes in Chicago. So it's great to have them and feature them on the show when I can. And the name of the piece is Perihelion. And I, again, thought it would fit this theme really nicely. We're going to hear a lot of kind of the same note being passed around the quartet and developing into something much larger and bigger than itself, and followed by these moments of respite. And it's all contrasted with, you know, these really dissonant, aggressive moments, and then these more intimate, subdued moments. But I think that the energy intensity kind of still remains the same throughout, but we're presented with the material coming back in different ways. And again, it's the many making the whole. So here is Perihelion by Elijah Daniel Smith, performed by Noise Quartet.
Thank you.
A pleasure to feature Elijah on this show. Good colleague of mine, good friend, good guy. Based in Philly now. If you ever have the chance to see his music performed, go see it. He is now a professor at Curtis as well, and is often doing some performances with his modular rig and other electronic instruments. And it's just good stuff. So I think that basic principles of synthesis always find their way into his music as well, along with a bunch of other stuff. So if that's not your jam, I'm sure he's got something for you as well. We're going to move to kind of a Chicago-based composer. He was at Northwestern for a bit, and I got to meet him through a couple of shows. Luis Fernando Amaya. He recently came out with a piece called Bestiario Cinco, and it's the one movement of many. Let me pull up the description here. Yes. Okay. So Luis tells us that he, let's see. A collection of compositions where the performers are instructed to personify a fictional animal through sound. In this process, the animal becomes an active participant in shaping the piece, gradually unveiling its sonic traits, which in turn influence the structure, technique, contrast, and gestures of the work. The animal's imagined presence holds a degree of agency, guiding the creative choices in ways the composer might not have chosen otherwise. I think in this particular piece, I was drawn to it specifically for this show. As you will hear, there are a bunch of these tiny little sounds that are coming together. I didn't mention this before. This is for viola and electronics. It does not say if they're live electronics or if it's fixed media. I'm hearing a little bit of processing in there. So whether it's done live or, you know, in a fixed, ultimately doesn't matter because it's still an incredibly compelling work. I thought this was kind of cool to feature, given that it's a fresh piece coming out this year in September, late September. And it's going to be a cool set of pieces once they're all done. So here is Bestiario Cinco by Luis Fernando Amaya. Hope you enjoy. Thank you. right, folks, this kind of brings us to the end of our show. Well, at least to the last piece. This is a piece I wanted to feature and kind of was the impetus for a lot of this. I mean, like I said, I've been exploring this topic in my own works and things like that. But I think that this piece in particular has inspired me for quite a bit. The name of the piece, whole piece, is Oratorio Virtual by Alberto Barbaris, an Italian composer. I had the chance to meet him all the way back in, I think, 2015, 2014, so about 10 years ago. And it's just lovely, lovely, lovely stuff going on. Unfortunately, I couldn't really find a full version online. So these are excerpts from his website, which please go on there and check them out. And then if they're performing it live ever, I mean, I would love to see it live someday. It seems like a really fascinating work and really compelling. It is a take on this, what would that be, 17th century oratorio. And so he's using elements of that music and then processing it. And then he has a saxophonist as well that he's composed music for. And I believe he's processing some of that live. But effectively, the whole thing is a giant duet for a live electronics, process sounds, probably some fixed media and saxophone. And on top of that, there's these like really spectacular visuals going on in the background that really lean into the whole like particles flurrying in the air and kind of in this mess. And then they come together to make these really fascinating shapes and designs in the background while the music is going on. I'm trying to do it justice by describing it on the podcast, but go check it out on his website. I think that you will get a better idea of it there. And then check out the rest of his music, because also very compelling, very lovely stuff. And I'm glad that I'm able to at least feature a couple excerpts of it. So without much further rambling, here is Oratorio Virtual by Alberto Barbaris.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that piece really just shows the power that this type of practice can have, especially in the form of synthesis. You can really just start to get things really excited and pack a punch, no pun intended. So I hope you all enjoyed me on this journey. I like doing these kinds of shows where we pick a theme. If you also enjoy these shows or have some topic ideas, feel free to drop us a line on any of our socials. We'd love to hear from you because we know that our listeners matter. On that note, Relevant Tones is a product of Axis Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, folks.